Welcome to the program. My name is Jim Rome. It's so good to be with you. We start 2021. I am right where I've always been, in the middle of Southern California, hosting the show live. Glad to be here. Appreciate the opportunity. And we are coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Specifically, Rocket Mortgage is giving away millions during Super Bowl 55 with the Rocket Mortgage Super Bowl Square Sweepstakes. See rules, enter for free today at Rocket. There's Rit. Enter for free today at RocketMortgageSquares.com. I'm referencing our simulcast on CBS Sports Network. I said, finally. There's Rit.
Finally.
1-800-636-8686. All right, we start hour number three by having a conversation with a senior NBA writer at Sports Illustrated, also a SiriusXM NBA analyst, also co-host of the Crossover NBA Show with Chris Mannix and Howard Beck, also the pride of UC Davis. We UCers stick together. He's a good friend of the program. He is Howard Beck. What's going on, Howard? Good to have you back. How are you?
Doing well, Romy. How are you? It's the UC Davis part that is always the most important part of the intro. I appreciate that.
I love that. No, I appreciate you saying that, too. Much respect coming from a UC Santa Barbara Gaucho grad. All right, so we're almost a month in, Howard, to the season. The biggest storyline of the year has been James Harden trying to force his way out of Houston and COVID. So let me start there. If you're Adam Silver, how are you feeling about that and about the start of the season? How concerned is the commissioner right about now?
You got to think that he's fairly concerned. This has been, this last week in particular, the wave of games that they have had to postpone, the number of teams that have had their rosters just devastated, not so much by COVID cases, but by contact tracing. It's tough. You know, they rolled out the schedule one half at a time, right? When they planned out the season, they said, we're doing the first 36 games. We will tell you when the second 36 will be afterward, because they wanted to make sure that they were flexible, that whatever happened in these first 36 games, they could adjust as necessary, and that proved to be the wise approach. And I got to say, to some extent, Jim, it's important to note that, you know, while there have been COVID cases, there have been players getting sick, Carl Anthony Towns, the latest, and that one's heartbreaking for all kinds of other reasons, but I don't think they've had necessarily as much of a COVID problem as they've had a contact tracing problem. And to their credit, they're going very strictly by their protocols to keep the league from having a bigger outbreak. But by erring on the side of caution, by being as careful as possible, they're having to postpone games. And I don't think it's gotten to a tipping point where you now have to say, well, we got to, you know, stop, pause the season and reevaluate everything. They're, you know, they've changed some rules. They're trying to tighten it up a little bit and see if they can weather the storm. But, you know, look, you and I both know this. This is not an NBA problem. This is a U.S. problem. It's a global problem, but, you know, particularly here, we are, you know, in the midst of the worst part of this pandemic in terms of infection rate, and the NBA, like any other sector, is not immune from it. So I think they're doing their best, but I got to think Adam Silver's been a bit nervous as well, given the way the last week or so has gone.
Agreed. Howard Beck is joining us. He's a senior NBA writer for Sports Illustrated. All right, Howard, what about James Harden? Now, you've had a few days to think about this. What are your thoughts on the way things ended for him in Houston, and how should he be remembered there?
Look, I think, and we saw this with Vince Carter, right? Go back, like, people have forgotten, especially the younger fans. Vince Carter's exit from Toronto once upon a time was really ugly. And everybody who remembers watching at the time, it looked like Vince Carter had basically just stopped playing, stopped caring entirely. And it got kind of ugly. And then he got traded to New Jersey, and suddenly he was reborn and you know, resumed being the great player that he was. And we remember him now very fondly. He became a respected veteran, a mentor, a great all-around leader and role model in this game. And we don't think too much. Raptor fans probably remember very vividly, but most people just kind of look at Vince Carter for what he accomplished and what he meant to the various franchises he played for. James Harden, it's ugly right now. And if you're a Rockets fan, it had to be frustrating, heartbreaking, infuriating, all of it. But he gave them 8 pretty great seasons, a couple of conference finals, a lot of great moments. And, yeah, couldn't deliver the championship, or maybe, you know, you want to argue that it was fate, injuries, not enough talent around him, the roster build, whatever. That was a pretty great era for Rockets basketball. And so I think over time, when the hard feelings subside, I think, you know, his Rockets tenure will be remembered even in Houston for the high highs and not the messy exit. But it was messy, and I don't think it was altogether necessary. I think there's, you know, everybody comes to that point in their careers, superstars in particular in the last 10 years, where you say, you know what, it's just not working out here. And if you're a pending free agent, you leave in free agency. And if you're, you know, a year short of that, maybe you tell the team, look, trade me before you lose me for nothing. In Harden's case, he really started that ball rolling way ahead of when he could have been a free agent, and that part of it made it a little bit, I think, tougher. And I think the way he applied pressure and the way he handled himself was not great. None of these cases are analogous to each other. They all kind of stand on their own. I think Harden's is at the unfortunate end of the spectrum.
Right, and for those who missed it, Howard, he shows up with the Nets, and then he goes off immediately, a triple-double, 32, 12, 14, and four steals, and in fact became the first player in NBA history with a 30-point triple-double in his debut with that team, so that was a little more salt in that wound for the Rockets and their fans. What about Kyrie Irving, Howard? He's reportedly going to miss tonight's game against Milwaukee. How do you see Harden, Irving, and Kevin Durant all working together in the event that they all work together?
Yeah, I mean, I've been saying for some time, and before this trade even happened, that I didn't think of all the places that Harden could land, this was not the ideal scenario to me. I thought his best fit was Philly. I thought Harden and Embiid together would be seamless, and yeah, that's two stars instead of three, so maybe it's not as high of a ceiling in terms of the talent that you can roll out on a given day. But I'm not convinced, Jim, that three high-usage, primary ball handler, primary scorer types of players can fit that seamlessly. This is not Pearson, Garnett, and Ray Allen in 2007, where they had, you know, maybe a little overlap, but very, a really complementary set of skills, the three of them. And not, you know, they took steps back. They all had to sacrifice. But they weren't all three primary ball handlers. And this is different. Durant and Kyrie Irving and James Harden are used to operating a certain way. And it was really nice the other night. Durant and Harden together were seamless. And I think those two plus a great set of role players around them could actually be a championship caliber team on its own. How Kyrie Irving fits whenever he gets back is, I think, a really big question. Because Durant's already shown, you know, he could play with Russ and Russ's high usage, you know, tendencies in Oklahoma. He could go to the Warriors and fit in. So I don't think Durant is a question. I'm not sure about Harden, and I'm not sure about Kyrie. They're both used to playing a certain way. And you assume that because Harden did force his way to Brooklyn, that was the top of his list. You assume that intrinsic to that is, if I get there, I'm going to be willing to play a little differently. And I assume that those are conversations he's had, not just with the organization, but with Durant and Kyrie Irving. So we'll see. We'll see. They have other issues too, Jim. I mean, I don't know if they've got enough defense. They traded Jared Allen. So, you know, there goes their best big man defender. And, you know, the roster, which was one of the deepest in the league to start the season, is now looking a little thin after the big three.
We are talking to Howard Beck. All right, Howard, what about out here? The thinking coming into this season was that the Lakers would be most impacted by the short offseason, and they probably have to limit minutes early on, yet they're 11-3 right now, Howard. They're number one in defensive efficiency. They're number five in offensive efficiency. What do you make of their start?
A couple of things. One is that when you're a great team, the talent still rules. Like, you know, this is just further proof that, oh, hey, the Lakers are really, really good. You know, and besides that, we spent, you know, a couple of weeks in the offseason saying, wow, look, they won the championship, and then they got better by bringing in Dennis Schroeder and Montrezl Harrell and the rest of these guys. So, no surprise. I think, you know, to your point, the quick turnaround, the short turnaround, and the fact that everybody still looks fresh and sharp, part of it's probably the fact that, you know, they didn't lose any momentum. You know, a shorter offseason means it maybe doesn't take as long to get back in a rhythm with each other, even with the new pieces being incorporated. But if there's going to be a price to pay because of the short turnaround and the lack of time to recover and this season being a little compressed, we won't know that impact until later, right? It's going to be, if there's some week that comes up where all of a sudden guys are looking like they're dragging, or, you know, guys start getting hurt, that's when you're going to say, you know what, this is where it's catching up to them. But to start the season, it's like you pick up where you left off, and everybody's in sync. So they look great. They're the favorites to repeat for a reason. But as I say, if there's a price to pay for the quick turnaround, we probably won't see it until a little bit further into the season.
Howard Beck joining us. Howard, before I let you go, I want to ask you about one more thing. I want to talk to you about Steph Curry. You and Chris Mannix were talking about him and his contract situation on a recent episode of The Crossover. How do you see Golden State handling his future?
Yeah, it's fascinating. And our colleague at SI, Michael Pena, wrote a piece about should the Warriors, and you know, it's like heresy to even throw this out there, should the Warriors think about what they could get for Steph because of where they were standing, you know, a few weeks ago, and they've looked a little bit better of late, but they're in a tough spot. And, you know, waiting another year for Klay Thompson to come back, not knowing exactly what kind of condition he'll be in when he returns, can you make another run? And I don't think, you know, it's more of a thought exercise. I don't think Steph Curry is seriously a candidate to be traded. But it's an interesting thing to think about as he, you know, nears, you know, the whatever the tail end of his prime might be, and he still looks like he's firmly in his prime. But, you know, what are your obligations as a franchise to your superstar player? You're obligated to, I think, get the most out of them every year, to put the best talent around them that you possibly can, to make sure that every year that they are an elite MVP-type player, that you are contending, that you're doing right by them. And the Warriors absolutely have done that. And circumstances have gone against them, right? Durant's injury, Klay's injury, Klay's other injury. And the good news for them is Wiseman's looked really good so far. They've got Minnesota's pick in this draft. They'll have their own pick. If they fall in the lottery, that could be two really high picks again. They should be able to reload pretty quickly. And if Klay Thompson recovers well, then Steph Curry is going to be able to contend again while still in the Golden State Warriors uniform. And the thought exercise of, gee, should they consider trading him and what could they get and how would that work? Maybe that never has to really come to pass in a real way.
I mean, as a quick follow, I wonder, are there certain guys, Howard, and would Steph be one of them where you just essentially get a contract for life because of what you've meant to the franchise?
Yeah, I don't have a problem with that. And yet that was part of the story that Michael Pena did as well was, yeah, are you going to give him a max extension at some point here that's going to take him into his mid to late 30s? I think you do it. I do think that when a guy has meant as much to a franchise as Steph Curry has to the Warriors, you don't think about, gee, on the back end, it's going to be a tough contract and it's going to weigh us down or whatever. You just do whatever you need to honor what that player has meant to your franchise, to your city, or to the entire Bay Area in that case. So I have no doubt that as long as everybody feels good about, listen, this is where he's going to finish his career, and if Steph doesn't have any thoughts ever about wanting to go finish like in his hometown of Charlotte or somewhere else or chase a ring somewhere else, then I don't think they'll have any problems settling on a number or maxing him out again, whatever it may be, because that's how the best franchises, the classy franchises, operate, and the Warriors have always been that.
They always have been that. He's a senior NBA writer at Sports Illustrated, SiriusXM NBA analyst, co-host of the Crossover NBA Show with Chris Mannix and Howard Beck, and as we mentioned, the pride of UC Davis. Howard, thanks so much. Always good to have you on. I appreciate your time, as always.
Appreciate you, Romy. Thank you.
You too, Howard. Thank you. Appreciate you very much. Quick reaction as I go to break. Jim, what are rules? Signed the 2017 Houston Astros. Greg in H-Town. Sir James Rome III of Calabasas. The worst rule? The $150 corkage fee at the French Laundry. Signed Beauregard in Pacific Palisades. Damn, Beauregard. Now we're on to corkage fees at the French Laundry. I've been in some nice restaurants in my day. I've never been there. And we tried. We tried numerous times. Joe Montana and I were once in a conversation or having a conversation about how hard it is to get there. He's like, can you help me get in? I'm like, good one, Joe. If Joe can't get into a Northern California-based restaurant, how am I going to get in? because I was married in Napa, we spent a lot of time going back and forth to Napa and went to all the nice restaurants there, but never got into the French Laundry. Still have never been to that restaurant. Dear Rome, Beauregard, the worst rule is the $150 corkage fee at the French Laundry. I don't even know if that's true. The French Laundry is like this exceptional and amazing small restaurant. There are not that many tables at that restaurant. Another reason why it's hard to get in Napa. Of course, Beauregard would know about it and complain about the corkage fee. Beauregard, you're so rich. What do you care? Dear Rome, the worst rule, no mask, no entry. You try finding one for my giant forehead. Regards, Tito Ortiz.
A bad girl.
Francis in Glendale wore Tito using a hammock as a mask. Wore Rich Flores using a tostada bowl as a bucket hat. Romy, it's the worst rule ever. Regards, Eli Manning, after his parents won't let him watch a rated R movie. Geoff and Lincoln. Rome. Worst rule ever? No self-glossing. Signed, The Chicken Man.
Romy, they call me The Chicken Man.
Really? Why?
I have been on a bit of a healthy kick as of late, and all I do is eat chicken for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. I am practically bringing these poor fowls to the brink of extinction. Not to mention the fact that the chicks love me, and I have a big rooster.
That's not a good call. No.
Yeah, that's a soundbite that had long been forgotten, and then one person brought it back, and clearly a lot of you have never heard it, and now you're trying to reinsert it. The chicks love me because I have a big rooster.
That the chicks love me, and I have a big rooster.
Yeah, I heard it the first time, Alvin. Alvin, I understand that it's your sound library. And I can't tell you what to do with your sound library. What is your policy on deleting certain drops? And is that not one that you would delete? Because you know it's going to come up over and over and over again. Like, it won't be the new Toby, but clearly there were a lot of people. Like, now James Kelly is just blowing me up, of course, because he's like the worst kind of clone. So I'll ask you one more time. Alvin, what is your policy for deleting sound drops? Do you do it? And what's the criteria? Alvin's response is like it always is in a controversial moment. He passes the buck. Quote, you usually tell me to do it, so I do. All right, Alvin, delete that. I don't know, dude. You know me. I hate to throw things away. I'm not wasteful. Alvin, quote, I hate to throw things away. Dude, I'm not saying throw your lunch away. I'm saying throw that disgusting sound drop away. What's the worst that can happen? James Kelly quits? Hi, Jim. My Tampa Bay, B-A-E, is going to dash the Bills' dreams again, isn't he? Poor Rick in Buffalo. He's more nervous than Silk at a town hall meeting stammering on about Lithuania. Signed, Sarah T.
Bruh.
Sarah T is back. Sarah T is back because her Tampa Bay is killing it. Okay, when we return, as I mentioned, our first weasel blast of 2021, and I have sound of it. So I'm going to probably work that in. ATP's coming up. What do you want to ask me? Ask me anything at all. Ask me anything at all. 1-800-636-8686. Looking ahead to midweek. The Jim Rome podcast continues. That thing just keeps spinning. So the last couple of weeks, we've had some former greats of teams that are still in the playoffs. We had Steve Tasker representing the Bills. We had Joe Thomas representing the Browns. This week, Leroy Butler to represent the Packers. That's how we do it. That's coming up on Wednesday. Stay tuned. Phone call is coming up next.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
So we talked about the wild weekend. Wild weekend. Andy Reid. Enormous stones. What a play call that was. Fourth and one, midfield. Browns come up short. They'll be back. The Bill is still in the fight. Speaking of people being in fights, this guy loves to fight. This guy's always looking for a fight. Right to the front of the line. I said, Bills Mafia, how you living? How you feeling about this week? You are one day closer to being one game closer to being in the Super Bowl. He is in market. He is on topic. He is Rick in Buffalo. What's going on, brother?
I was there when the goalpost came down in 88. I was there when we destroyed the Raiders to clinch our first trip to the Super Bowl. And I was there when Frank Reich led the greatest comeback in league history. But the most electric I've ever seen Rich Stadium, Jim, was this past Saturday night. And when Taron Johnson made his 101-yard house call on that pick six, I damn near went into cardiac arrest. And forgive me for going Raider Mike on meth for a minute, but I got to give Leslie Frazier lots of love for the game plan he devised and a ton of credit to the defense for executing it to perfection. And while I'd hate to see Frazier leave Buffalo, the Texans would be absolute morons if they don't make him their next head coach. He's the perfect guy to steady that sinking ship and make things right with Watson. And how about my guy, Jerry Hughes? He dominated that game the way Caleb in Green Bay dominates the drive-thru at Arby's. And just like Fatboy Leb, Hughes ain't even close to being full. And I wish Patrick Mahomes a speedy recovery, because I want the entire football world to see that Josh Allen is the best young quarterback in this league. Bills 30, Chiefs 20. Go ahead and mark that son of a bitch down. We're the Bills Mafia being one big crazy family. We're the only funny part of Jeff and SoCal's calls is that idiot actually thinks they're good. War, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Thanks for the vine, Jim. Talk to you guys next week. I'm out.
My man, Rick in Buffalo. Rack him. He is still so good. Fat Leb. Fat Caleb in the drive-thru at Arby's. Taron Johnson, that was the most amazing play. 101 yards out of the end zone. House call. Lamar throwing his first pick in the red zone of his entire career. What a brilliant defensive game plan that was for Leslie Frazier. And to Rick's point, they executed it perfectly. Here we go. Back to back. Big names coming out. Let's go to Huntington Beach. Silk bra. But then again, we never really know, right? Whenever I see a silk bra on the screen, I'm assuming it's silk bra. Or it might be the fake silk, or the fake silk. I never know. I don't even think Hawk knows at this point. Let's go right there. Silk, what's going on?
How you doing, brother, man? Good to talk to you, bro. Just want to give a little update, bro. Your boy Silk, bro. You know how careful I am, man. Getting tested twice a week, keeping the COVID protocols, bro. But I got the 19 over the winter break, bro. So I'm just coming out of it, man. So I've been enjoying the show, just staying home and taking it easy listening to you, brah. But this, the COVID's no joke, brah. So I want all you guys to stay safe out there and observe the mask protocols, please. Wash your hands. Nice to see Salty Sarah crawling out from under her thirsty Plymouth Rock, brah. I hate to break the narrative for you, Sarah. The reason why I was speeded up a little bit at the council meeting is our former mayor chopped down the public comments from 3 minutes to one on the fly, brah. And you know I can do that, brah, no problems. Love that call from Rick. It was awesome, brah. But let's talk some Charger football. Staley, I like him, brah. It's a good hire. Loved Anthony Lynn, but he had to go. I'm going to miss Pep Hamilton. I think he did a great job with Herbert. But what I'm really looking forward to is if the Chargers can keep Bosa, Ingram, Tillery, Tranquil, and Derwin James healthy and they can play all at the same time. I'm really stoked to see what Staley can do with that Charger defense, but they definitely got to hire a guru and a maven to take Herbert to even higher levels, bruh. Listen, bruh, hope everybody's doing good with your fam. Like I said, I'm on the road to recovery, bruh, almost back to 100%. School's back tomorrow. Shout out to MLK, by the way. Read a letter from a Birmingham jail, bruh. I have my students dissect it every semester, bruh. Later, bruh.
So good to hear your voice. And I'm sorry to hear about that. I did not know that you were sick, and I'm glad that you're bouncing back and you're doing better. Thanks for sharing that. Clones, I know you, and I respect you, and I love you, and I appreciate you. There are certain things that you do, though, that I do not appreciate, nor do I love, and I know what's going to happen here. When Silk uttered the phrase, quote, I got the 19, I know that many of you, because whenever he shows up and says anything or does anything, regardless of what it is, you've already decided that you're going to line up on the other side of it and vote for the other side. Don't come in here and vote for, quote, the 19 against Silk or anybody else. Idiots, I know you. It's a global pandemic. It's killing thousands of people every single day. Don't do it. There's a line, all right? We draw a line. There is a line. You know where I'm going to draw that line? Freaking COVID-19 at a global pandemic. That's where I'm drawing that line. Silk, I'm glad to hear your voice, bro. You know I've got your back, as does much of the jungle and much of the world. When we return. All right, so that's a segment with Rick and Silk, back to back. Let's get this thing going. Anybody else? Who else wants in? If you're the right caller, you'll go right to the front of the line. They did. You can too. Also, still ahead. Hits get through an entire program without acknowledging the first weasel blast of 2021. I don't want it to be the last one. It's just a greatly underrated word. Weasel. The only time that I use that word in my vernacular or in my tool chest, I have to admit, I use it to describe the beloved Cody the Ragdoll Cat. Freaking weasel sometimes, man. I try and put him to bed at night because we put him in the laundry room. Take it easy. He's well situated in the laundry room. He's got water. He's got a nice bed. It's warm. It's comfy. Because if I don't do that, he gets into things in the middle of the night that he should not get into. And starts eating plastic and ribbons and pukes all over the house. Keeps me up all night. So inevitably, when I try and put that cat to bed, he knows. And takes off, man. He's gone. And he's going to all these high points in the house and hiding. Freaking weasel, Cody the Ragdoll Cat. However, I see an athlete dropping a weasel bomb on somebody. So I got to get to that when we come back. First, here's a sports update for you. Bills Mafia, like I said, one day closer to being one game closer to getting back to the Super Bowl. And they've got the swagger. They've got the belief. They've got the culture. And they may get a Kansas City team that may or may not have Patrick Mahomes. Mahomes? So that's going to be a pretty interesting week. What about the NFC? Green Bay's got that game in Lambeau. That's a totally different deal. Totally different deal having that game at home. That's exactly the way Aaron Rodgers wanted it. And I've not gotten to my thoughts on Green Bay. If I don't get that in this segment, definitely tomorrow. Because they still deserve a lot more credit than they're getting. Like, where are all those people? Where are all those people who said that Aaron Rodgers was so washed? All those people who said that he would not be in a good headspace after they did not get him help, but instead took the heir apparent. Where are all of you now? Now, normally, the beef segment is reserved for Wednesdays. We have a sponsored beef segment on Wednesdays. However, this is not going to make that. It's not going to make it that long. I can't get to Wednesday with this. Not when Jake Voracek of the Philadelphia Flyers got off the way he did. I'm not going to wait till Wednesday, and I know for a fact Voracek was not going to wait till Wednesday. Not when he had presumably been sitting on this beef with a local reporter since 2019. Apparently just kind of biding his time, waiting for the opportunity to present itself, and then he was going to unload. And that opportunity came just as this past weekend was getting started.
I love when you talk hockey.
I love hockey. And I love to talk hockey.
When you talk hockey.
So Friday, Voracek's Flyers beat the Penguins 5-2 to get off to a 2-0 start on the brand new season. Voracek had a couple of points in that game, so he was selected by the team to sit down in front of a laptop and do the Zoom post-game presser alongside his teammate, Travis Konecny. That's when Mike Sielski of the Philadelphia Inquirer asked him a pretty innocuous question. A pretty innocuous question, which produced an all-time answer.
Two games in, Jake, how different does the season feel, if at all, given the circumstances of the offseason and the condensed schedule and everything?
Doesn't matter what I say, Mike. You're going to write every time. No, so it doesn't matter what you say. Yeah, it feels different. I mean, we got 4 points after the first two games. I wasn't even going to answer your question because you are such a weasel. It's not even funny. Next question.
Wow. Two games into the NHL season, and already we've got a John Tortorella-esque presser. Incredible. And that clip. I mean, that clip doesn't even deserve a replay, but rather a breakdown. That's 24 seconds of audio gold. Let me start at the top really quickly.
Two games in, Jake, how different does the season feel, if at all, given the circumstances of the offseason and the condensed schedule and everything?
All right, so that's the voice of Mike Sielski. He's a beat writer for the Philadelphia Inquirer covering the Flyers. I mean, that's a really tame question, a really innocuous question. Like, that's not a reason to go, except Voracek saw it as a reason to go.
Doesn't matter what I say, Mike. You're going to write every time. No, so it doesn't matter what you say. Yeah, it feels different. I mean, we got 4 points after the first two games. I wasn't even going to answer your question because you are such a weasel. It's not even funny.
I mean, this response. This response. What's the best part of that response? He starts out extremely strong with, quote, "It doesn't matter what I say, Mike. You're going to write effing bleep every time."
Doesn't matter what I say, Mike. You're going to write f***ing every time.
Like, wow. So you have that. But then he actually does double back and address and respond to the question after taking that run at the reporter.
Doesn't matter what I say, Mike. You're going to write f***ing every time. No, so it doesn't matter what you say. Yeah, it feels different. I mean, we got 4 points after the first two games.
Isn't that amazing? Like, he F-bombs this guy. Like, he's been waiting for this moment. And just drops that bomb. And then just doubles right back into a normal response. Like, Voracek just had to get that disclaimer out of the way. Like, Mike, you're going to effing write what you want anyway, so it doesn't really matter what I say. And then he doubles back in the midst of the Zoom call to answer the question. But then, and there's more. Then it seemed like he kind of hated himself for playing along and doing the right thing. So he flips this like violent U-turn and goes right back to tattooing the guy.
I wasn't even going to answer your question because you are such a weasel. It's not even funny. Next question.
I mean, like, he detours out of that cliche response to a cliche question and goes right back to skewering his guy. Now, it's not like I'm taking a side here. I don't have a dog in this fight at all. I have no interaction with either one of these guys. I really don't care. I'm not taking a side. I just love that we got a weasel blast in 2021.
You are such a weasel, it's not even funny. Next question.
And again, not just a weasel blast, but a "you're such a weasel, it's not even funny."
You are such a weasel, it's not even funny.
And then not only "you're such a weasel, it's not even funny," but "you're such a weasel, it's not even funny." Next question. When was the last time?
"You're such a weasel, it's not even funny." Next.
When was the last time somebody got called a weasel? The answer. Of course. Not recently enough. Weasel is criminally underused as a blast. And do not go getting your rodent smack confused. A weasel and a rat are not the same thing. Notice that if we go to a weasel take, you don't hear that song dropping. They're not one and the same. A weasel and a rat are very different. A rat is just somebody who dimes somebody else out for personal gain or to avoid trouble themselves. All right, so that's pretty simple, pretty basic, pretty primitive. Now, a weasel, by definition, is a particularly cunning, conniving, shifty, sneaking, scheming person who will do whatever it takes to escape whatever they fear in that moment.
Weaseling out of things is important to learn. It's what separates us from the animals, except the weasel.
So a weasel and a rat are not one and the same. So why is Jake Voracek calling Mike Sielski a weasel? I mean, what did Mike do other than ask about their hot start to the season? According to those in the know, reportedly, the reporter wrote a column back in 2019 which seemed to insinuate that Voracek was laughing at his head coach during a serious meeting directed at the vets. Both the team and the player insisted that was not true, that he was laughing about something unrelated. You know, a very, 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 very Derek Anderson moment.
Why was something funny when you're down 18 points in the fourth quarter?
It wasn't funny. I wasn't laughing about anything.
The camera showed you laughing.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine.
Coach Gruden commented about it.
That's fine. That's fine. I'm not laughing about it. You think this is funny? I take this serious.
I'm real serious.
I put my heart and soul into this every single week.
All I'm saying is the camera showed
you. I'm just telling you right now what I do every single week. Every single week, I put my freaking heart and soul into this. I study my ass off. I don't go out there and laugh. It's not funny. It's not fun. Nothing's funny to me. I don't want to go out there and get embarrassed on Monday Night Football in front of everybody.
That's why I'm asking you what.
Telling you right now. We're talking. Deuce and I are talking.
What was the context?
Wow. Now I'm done. So Sielski corrects the column after speaking with the team, but apparently had not had a face-to-face with Voracek since then. And Voracek clearly did not forget, as evidenced by that exchange over Zoom Friday night. Again, I'm not picking a side here. I do not condone harboring negative energy and decaying beef for a year and a half. Generally. Unless you're going to grab that thing from a deep freezer and uncork a weasel blast. Then I'm open to it. Because unlike most other beefs, this one may have actually gotten better with age.
Two games in, Jake, how different does the season feel, if at all, given the circumstances of the offseason and the condensed schedule and everything?
Doesn't matter what I say, Mike. You're going to write every time. So it doesn't matter what you say. Yeah, it feels different. I mean, we got 4 points off your first two games. I wasn't even going to answer your question because you are such a weasel. It's not even funny. Next question.
Wow. That's like some dry-aged beef right there. What a response. Yeah, he was so furious. He could not wait to unload on him with that weasel crackback. And then kind of caught himself and checked himself and said, yeah, it does feel kind of different, actually. But then when he realized, wait a minute, I'm playing ball with this guy. I can't do that. I can't be professional here. Then he doubles back again. All over Zoom. Wow. All right, so there it is. There is your first weasel blast of 2021. Hopefully it is not the last.
You are such a weasel, it's not even funny.
Quickly, the ATP. Brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. For all of your car care needs, get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Jimmy, are you a flip-flop guy? If so, what kind? Sandpaper, between the toes kind? Slide in and out with or without socks, weird wrap around the ankle kind, or the dreaded Swiss cheese doctor flop. What do you mean, like a croc? Rockin' Maine with that one. Wow. No, I just kind of go with the slides. Hi, Jim. What regrettable meal did you order from DoorDash? Thanks, Bella B in Calgary.
I love when you talk hockey.
Oh, B, have I got a story for you. Too bad we're out of time. For the ones who like to get it done, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, backed by 24/7 support, free access to product specialists, and experienced staff. You have over 250 local branches. You want to call or click Grainger.com or just stop on by. There is the Monday edition of the program. My thanks to Charles Davis, Chris Holtman, Howard Beck, the XR4TI, you clones. Have a great day. See you right back here tomorrow. We're out.